was trying out for the church, so keep that in mind. And I went to make a point, and my arm went like that, and it caught it, and I threw that thing clear across the room. In spite of that, they did vote to call me, but I didn't go. But I was kind of thinking this morning, it's kind of unusual. I've been in a lot of services where it was a youth emphasis. Well, this morning, the hymns were more an old person's emphasis, and I appreciated it because I'm an old person. And those old hymns speak to me, and I really enjoy joining in and singing as loud as I can when I can. So I appreciate that very much. I was thinking also with this, my wife wanted me to come down here primarily because she's afraid for me to go up there that I might fall. So here I am. But I was telling somebody this morning, I think it's Ray. I said, we might just do this the way that the old rabbis used to do. And the old rabbis used to sit and do their teaching, and everybody out there stood up while he did it. See how you like that. We're going to look this morning at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, titled The Message is a Challenge for the New Year. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for making all things new. As another new year begins, help us to live each day for you. May we continually have a new song in our hearts to sing to you, no matter what comes our way. We trust in you because we know that your mercies are new every morning, and nothing ahead of us will take you by surprise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we face another new year, it's a good thing to look back and learn from our mistakes. To be encouraged by our successes, and to determine that the new year facing us is going to be the best year that we can make it with God and as our helper. You know, there's no point in simply drifting along. We need to set ourselves a personal target, something you would like to see achieved during the coming year. I'd like to ask you this morning to respond to this challenge personally. It might be a good idea to write it down so that you'll be able to know when you've attained it. And before we can see great things done in our church, we must see great things done in our own lives. Amen. The church is made up of individuals, and each one of us has an important part to play in the ongoing life of this part of the church. And I feel sure that there are things that we would like to see happen. This coming year, it's untrodden, it's unmarked, and we'd like to get into it while it's in that state and achieve some goals, set some goals. If we take time to look back over last year and see the trail of our moving through the year, I feel certain that there are things that we would change if it were possible. But we can't touch last year. It's now a closed chapter of history. But we do have a new year before us. And what are we going to make of it? The question is, will we come back in 12 months with similar regrets or with a sense of joy? Well, this word from Scripture is one that we can take with us throughout the new year, throughout this coming year that we're facing. It's a word that can help us attain His well done if we're willing to apply it to our daily living. This is a word for every day of this year, not just for the opening days. It's a word that can change our lives for the better. Let me remind you of the text there in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to take a look to see what this verse is really saying to us today. And the first thing I see is the need to concentrate on applying the Word of God to our individual lives. There must be application, first of all. I do concentrate on this. The fact that we have the Bible to help us each day is due to the goodness of the Lord. If we get into a mess in our lives, it's almost certain that we violated one of the principles laid down by the Lord in His Word. Has God spoken to you in the past year about a particular thing in your life? Have you responded in the way that the Lord's shown you? To apply God's word needs concentration to overcome the habits of a lifetime, habits that aren't glorifying to the Lord. Let's make it our aim for this new year to really concentrate on doing what the Lord tells us, even if we don't understand why we should do it. Let me remind you that God's ways aren't our ways. They're better, higher, greater than our ways are. And we need to apply what He says to us. And we can take encouragement from what Mary told the servants at Cana of Galilee. She told them to do whatever Jesus said. And it was a strange instruction, but it worked. And His instructions always will. And as long as the instruction is from Jesus, it's sure to work. And what we've said so far isn't promised to be easy. It requires resolution. I leave the past behind. Whatever that happened in last year is gone. It's history, and it can't be changed. There were some things that were good, but they're in the past. There may have been some of those good things that were not good, but they're also in the past and can be forgiven if they're confessed. It's certain that however much we try, we can't live in the past. We have today and we face tomorrow, but yesterday with its joys and sorrows is irretrievably gone. What we did in past years can't be changed. We can't even change what we did yesterday. We can certainly learn from the past. But whether we like it or not, we have to move toward it, forward into the new year ahead of us. Let's determine, like Paul, to leave the past behind. Facing the future with real expectancy. As we firmly believe God for great things. And consequently, there must be expectation. With hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal. I can't tell you what lies ahead in this coming year. But I do know that it's in the control of the Lord. And that the plans, His plans for me and for you are only for our good. I'm sure you probably remember that wonderful text in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It may be that you'll say that you haven't been prospered in the past year. Then let me remind you of what the scripture says in Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Can you honestly say that you've put the Lord first in every part of your life? Your home, your friends, your finances, your conversation, your thought life. Have you made time for the Lord to speak to you? I mean, He can speak to you, And he'd like to, but we have to take time to listen to what he would say to us. So we saw earlier, the past is behind us and can't be changed, but let's learn from our mistakes and go forward with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. Let's deliberately and consciously place our confidence in the goodness of our God and trust him, expecting and allowing him to work out his purposes in our lives. Let there be an eagerness with hands outstretched, anticipating the generosity of God. There's a place that he wants us to arrive at in our lives. And that's why he's constantly seeking to work out his plans in us in spite of us. There's meant to be an end result, a destination point. The question arises, are we aiming at the target? Destination, I go straight for the goal. Paul says that he's going straight for the goal. And here he uses the metaphor of the athlete who has the finishing line as his target and who won't be distracted by anything or anyone. He doesn't run from side to side. His attention isn't diverted by what others are doing. He stays on the path and he runs a straight line. And that's got to be our standard for the coming year. If we're going to see the blessing of the Lord poured out upon us, if we're going to see people coming to know the Lord as Savior, if we're going to see growth in our own lives and in the life of our church, then this must be our main pointer for the directing of our lives throughout the year. Let nothing cause you to deviate in your purpose. Aim for the goal of allowing the Lord to work out his purposes in your life this coming year. Make your will and desire subordinate to the will of the Lord for you. Do you really know that the Lord has a plan for you? Are you aware that there's a part of God's purpose that only you can fulfill? Go for it. Go straight for the goal. If we stay with the metaphor of the athlete, then there's usually a prize, a reward to be aimed for. And in this race, there's a prize to set our sights on. And so the reward is, my reward is the honor of being called by God in Christ. How wonderful that the Lord not only works in our lives to bless us, and the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, but he also wants to reward us for doing what we ought to do. You'll note that the text speaks of the honor of being called by God in Christ. That should be a sufficient reward in itself. How precious to know the calling of God in our lives. Do you know your calling in God? Paul tells us to make our calling sure. What does the Lord want to do in and through you? The text speaks of being in Christ. And if we're in Christ, then we're in Christ at all times. Every moment of every day, in every place that we visit. Being in Christ includes our daily living as well as our eternal destiny. Let's be among those who dare to believe God for great things and who are willing to let the Lord work out his purpose in our lives. I like what C.T. Studd said. He made a very profound statement. He said this, Christ wants not nibblers at the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. Christ wants not nibblers at the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. Are you willing to believe for the impossible? Anyone can achieve what's possible, but only those people who dare to take God at his word will see that with God, all things are possible. Sir. Our Christmas celebration's over. Now comes that time of year when many people make New Year's resolutions. With fixed determination, they try to achieve what they've probably announced to some people that they want to achieve. Why not? There are three powerful enemies that often work together to keep us from fulfilling those resolutions. The first one, the flesh, or better yet, the sinful nature. Paul specifically describes its power. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. We inherited this sinful nature from Adam and Eve, and it controls all unbelievers. The second thing that keeps people from keeping their resolutions is the world, or this world system. It has a lot to draw us away from what is good and right, and that's to worship God with all our lives. The third thing that keeps us from keeping those resolutions is the devil. Listen, folks, he's real. He was cast out of heaven for pride and rebellion, and he led other angelic beings to rebel with him. And Peter warns us, 1 Peter 5:8, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, with these three adversaries constantly opposing us, it's easy to understand how most people fail to achieve or accomplish their resolutions and fulfill their commitments. Jesus warns us that apart from him, we can do nothing, nothing good. Instead, people do what's right in their own eyes, bringing grief, disappointment, and destruction into their own lives and the lives of their families. The Apostle Paul wrote about struggling with sin, how to overcome it. Sin's overcome only by being born again. Allowing God's Holy Spirit to live in us and surrendering to him. Paul described it best when he wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And these words are true for every man, woman, and child. A person must have Christ living in them before they can begin to live a righteous life. The Bible teaches that Jesus is able to sympathize with your weaknesses. He's been tempted in every way, just as you are, yet he was without sin. And Jesus is able to help you overcome sin and set you free from the bondage of sin. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. However, he also said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Jesus is not only able to save you from hell, but save you from your sins in this life as well. When you repent and confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. Jesus also taught that only a few will enter the narrow gate and walk the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Those who've chosen the narrow gate and walk on the narrow road are those who've accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They find themselves becoming more and more like Christ and living victoriously over the sin that wants to destroy them and their relationship with the Lord. The only New Year's resolution that will stand the flesh, the world, and the devil is to resolve to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you be one of the few and receive him? He's waiting to set you free. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we embark on this new year, we seek your divine guidance in every decision we make. Illuminate our paths with your wisdom. Fill our hearts with courage to face challenges. We're reminded of Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Help us to remain steadfast in faith and to trust in your plan. May our actions reflect your love and grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? And as we have a couple of verses here of our invitation hymn, Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to come and kneel here and pray, and someone will come and pray with you. To invite Christ into your heart and life. That's a resolution, the best resolution you can make for the coming year. Now, God may have spoken to some of you who already made that resolution, but something came to your mind and to your heart that says, hey, there's something else God wants me to do. There's something else he wants me to change in my life. I would invite you to come and talk to the Lord about that as well as we sing.